San Diego Mission Academy. This is Friday, December the 9th, 2022 at 1 o'clock. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item IE. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by checking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may also submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments at sdmissionacademy.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. So we're going to do a roll call, and we'll open up this meeting. Cheryl Stanford, present. Claudette Beck,
present.
Mike Malloy,
present.
John George,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
All right, so we have a quorum. So we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance right now, and I think, let's see, John, have you done one?
Yes, I have,
Let's have Mike Malloy do it this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Please stand, place your right hand over your heart, and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. That was
You're more welcome.
All right. So now we're going to do staff introductions, and we're going to start with Ms. Brown.
Well, good afternoon, President Stanford, members of the board. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Welcome, Jeff. Jerry Vincent.
Good afternoon, board, staff. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
All right, school staff.
Good afternoon, Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Hello, this is Jenna Eunice. I will be traveling on this board call, but I'll do my best to unmute myself as needed. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Hi, Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to our authorizer, Warner Unified.
Welcome, Kevin.
Good afternoon, this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right, school legal counsel?
Yes, good afternoon all. Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
And advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Good afternoon. This is Gita Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Hi, Gita.
And good afternoon. This is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
And Michelle. Any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right. Welcome to everyone. So now we're going to go to 1E. Let me open this up just in case. I've got it on my screen too, but I'd like to look at those. All right. So we're going to adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to 61. Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, President Stanford and board members. Please refer to your board package for the resolution for continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 allows boards to continue to meet remotely during states of emergency as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. So we need a motion and a second to adopt 1E.
John George moved.
Claudette Beck seconded.
John George has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Wilson?
Aye.
1E has been unanimously adopted. 1F, approved agenda for the December 8, 9, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I need a motion and a second to approve 1F.
Barbara Willebrand moves.
Claudette Beck second.
Thank you, ladies. Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
1F has been approved unanimously. We're now down to 1G, approved minutes of the October 26, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Okay, so I comments, please do so at this time. Otherwise, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1G?
Mike Millar makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Mike Millar is moved. Barbara Willebrand is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Millar?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1G has been, or 1G has been approved unanimously. So we're now in 1H. Approved minutes of the November 16, 2022 meeting of the Board of Directors. And I assume everyone has read this. If there's any corrections, please ask for it right now. Otherwise, I need a motion and a second to approve 1H.
I think I'll make a motion to approve 1H.
Mike Malloy will second.
Claudette Beck's motion. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1H has been approved unanimously. We are now into consent items. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Consent agenda items A, 1, and 2. The board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan on pages 27 to 217. Or 2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for virtual instruction and addendum to the school's health and safety plan. And this is pages 218 through 250. Is there anyone on the board who would like to table one of these items or discuss it now? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 2 consent items A, 1, and 2?
John Dorch, move.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
John Dorch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 2 consent items A, 1, and 2 have been passed unanimously. 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur. At this time, it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? And if not, Jeff, has anyone contacted you from the public?
Good afternoon, President Stanford. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President of Charter Relations, reporting that there were no written submissions for public comment or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. And so this is principal update, and this is Jenna. By the way, Jenna, I love this. I love this format. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad. I'm happy to share. Makes it easier for me as well. Good afternoon, board. This is Jenna Yunus, principal at San Diego Mission Academy. I'm here to report on a couple of highlights. Noticeably here, we have 9 new graduates as of August 16th and forward. We do have an upcoming graduation ceremony in the San Diego area. We're partnering with another Learn for Life school program to have a joint ceremony, and we are excited to have our graduates once again walk across the stage and be able to cheer them on and celebrate with families in person. We also had a recent parent advisory committee meeting just last week where we reviewed virtual program expectations, grant funding, and our upcoming WASC accreditation visit, including again what WASC is and how parents can be involved. And we also provided counseling updates, including fentanyl awareness and resources, dual enrollment information, which is increasing among our virtual academies, and we awarded students who exemplified our students' values of grit and GRIT stands for Growth, Resilience, Independence, or Transformation, which we believe adequately represents our students and our graduates. So we always survey parents at our parent advisory committee meetings, and we send the survey out after the meeting, but also we send it out to all parents and partners. We ask them, what do you as a parent like about our program? And here are some of their responses. There's one here, lo ayudan en lo que no entiende. They help my child with what they don't understand. They work with my child's needs and offer good resources on all subjects. My child can work on their own, and all teachers and advisors have been very helpful, understanding, and kind. My child can work independently. Academic advisor is helpful, encouraging, and knowledgeable. A lot of communication among students, parents, and teachers. I love the teachers and administrators. Flexibility and staff is supportive and positive. And we're continuing to garner input from our parent community. We actually have a parent volunteer who would like to be a liaison to lead a more robust and frequent parent advisory committee to build resources for parent education and also homeless, foster, and other social emotional needs for students within our communities. So we're looking forward to that. We also award students with awards that match our GRIT student learning objectives. So located on the screen is an example of the GRIT Award for Independence, and we indicate what that means. So, for example, the student demonstrates the ability to work independently and take accountability for his, her, or their responsibilities. We also read a personal faculty nomination aloud at the PAC meeting, and we send that in a written format with a certificate mailed home to students. We get really positive feedback on that, and we try and do that as often as we can in our partner meetings so that we can celebrate the large and small successes of our students. There is a student success story here for a student named Giovanni. And to provide you with a more personal student success perspective, I've invited my academic advisor, education specialist, Daniel Pirelli. So Mr. Pirelli works with our students in the special education department, and he's going to conclude my report and share a little bit about his experience with students and their successes.
Yeah, Giovanni actually in specific was a really great student to work with. It's interesting, he mainly is taken care of by his sister. So he has that kind of set of challenges where he doesn't have a typical family model, and for that he doesn't have typical role models. So often, there would be a lot of conversations between him and the education staff, including myself, as I was a teacher at the time, where he would basically just want to learn how to be more of an adult, especially the closer he got to graduation. So it's interesting that a lot of the students we get, especially the ones that are getting older, aren't just there for the education side, they're there for the career side, the learning how to be an adult side, the learning what bills look like, that sort of thing. So you see a lot of that with the special education, especially the closer they get to graduation is when they start to realize that. And those kind of conversations can help increase the academic progress. Because a lot of students, when they get close to graduating, they slow down. They don't want to graduate because they're afraid of what's about to happen. But when you do have those conversations about career awareness, post-secondary education, things like that, especially our special education students start to kind of light up and see more of a light at the end of the tunnel when they realize that community colleges near them do have an office for students with disabilities. So, and especially Giovanni, that was a great case. I mean, we always encourage him and his sister to go, and they would go to Barnes & Noble and check out books, and he loved business administration. So that was something he read up upon. And the more he got to do that, and the more he got to talk about those, you know, those post-secondary goals, the faster he started to go at the end. And then, you know, he ended up graduating and doing an excellent job. And especially with the challenge of being an English learner, reading and going and reading those native English books was just, it was incredible to see. And yeah, we were really proud of Giovanni for that.
This is Board President Stanford. That's wonderful. You guys are true influencers and mentors and coaches, and Everybody in their young life is looking for somebody to emulate, and thank you for being that, Daniel. That's wonderful. Appreciate that.
Appreciate that.
Was there anything else that you wanted to say, Jenna?
No, thank you, Board President. That concludes my report.
All right, that was wonderful. Thank you, both of you. Any comments from the other board members?
Just quite a bit, and we love hearing about the different students, and it is really nice to know. I didn't really realize that the older students might be having that type of a problem where they really didn't want to graduate, you know, or they did want to graduate, but they were kind of slowed down at the end. But I hadn't realized that. That's interesting to know.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to go now into 4B. This is finance update. Geeta.
Thank you, Board. I'd like to bring your attention to what you're looking at on the screen. This is the line of credit update as of October 31st, 2022. You can also find it in your package for your reference on page 252. This document slightly looks different than what I used to present because we also included all the line of credits that the school has. So on the top portion, you'll see how many bank, which is a bank for the school, and they provide line of credit to the school. It shows if there's any money withdrawn from the bank, from the line of credit from the bank, which has been zero. It also reflects the interest rate they charge, slightly higher than what I provided previously, which was at 6.75%, currently at 7.5%, it increases with prime rate. It's prime rate plus 0.5%. And as you all know, Fed is increasing prime rate. So it's a variable interest, and it's gone up. Expiration date is November 3rd, 2023. It also shows some ratios for the covenant for the bank that we have to calculate in order to show financial health, and the bank it requires that so that they can continue providing the line of credit to the school. And then on the bottom section, we added also the promissory note or the line of credit that the school has with Lifelong Learning. And that also reflects on the amount and if there's any money drawn from the account, as well as the fixed rate, which is at 4% for the fiscal year. So this is just for your reference. If you need to access the information, it's here available for you. So that concludes my report. If there are any questions, happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Geeta. Any questions or comments, Geeta? All right. Thank you so much. We're now going to move to 4C, Annual Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, LLAC Service Report. And we're going to do that next January. Pete will be here with us next January. So now we'll move to 5, public hearing. So I need a motion and a second to open this public hearing.
Father Beck will make a motion to open the public hearing.
Mike Malloy will second it.
Father Beck has motioned. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Father Beck.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dortch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So now we have opened this public hearing. With a unanimous vote. So this public hearing is now open at 1:20. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay Reese. Lost your name for a second. I think superintendent. Okay.
Thank you, President Stanford. The purpose of this public hearing is to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. A redlined copy of the revised policy is provided in your board packets on pages 294 to 302 and reflects changes required by Assembly Bill 740, which was signed by the governor on September 18, 2022 and goes into effect in January, January 1st, 2023 to be specific. You'll see that section 2.7 of the policy concerning involuntary removal procedures has been revised to extend parental rights and notification requirements affecting homeless, foster, or Indian children or youth to that student's educational rights holder, social worker, or tribal or county social worker as applicable during any involuntary removal process. We are working with our counseling and retention team to implement these new requirements in preparation for the January 1st due date. This concludes my presentation. hearing policy for the 22-23 school year. Does the board or any members of the public have questions or comments on the revised personalized learning policy?
President Stanford, are you there?
I'm on mute. And I'm going to go backwards on that. I was just singing along, like humming. All right. So we wanted to find out if any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comments. And are there any members of the public who submit a written comment to the board? And that's for Jeff.
Good afternoon, President Stanford. This is Jeff Martin reporting that there were no written submissions for public comment or requests to speak via the email posted on the agenda. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. So now I'd like to have a motion and a second to close this public hearing.
Mike Malloy makes a motion. John Dorch second.
Mike Malloy's motion. John Dorch has seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Wilbrand,
aye.
All right. So this public hearing is now closed at, let's see, 1:23, and it was by unanimous vote. So thank you all. All right. So now we're going to move into 6 action items. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2022 annual audit report for the school. Geeta.
Thank you, board. So we have Mr. Brian Hadley, a partner with Wilkinson, Hadley, and King here today with us, and their firm goes over and prepares the annual audit for the school. So I will defer to Brian. Brian?
Thank you.
Before you start, Brian, I just want to let the board know also that the full audit report is in your packet on pages 254 to 292 of the PDF. Thank you. Brian, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Brian Hadley. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present the audit report at this board meeting this afternoon. I'd like to give a brief overview of the audit report, and then if the members of the board have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time. I'd like you to know that Wilkinson Hadley King & Company is an approved auditor by the California State Controller, and as such, we need to follow all of the requirements and recommendations that the California State Controller imposes. Any non-material items or recommendations that we have are communicated to management during our field work. If you turn, I'm going to refer to pages in the audit report, and there, the audit report pages is not the board packet pages. So if you turn to page 1 of the audit report, this is the executive summary. It's written by management, and it provides management the opportunity to tell the readers of the financial statement to provide some background about the school, to let the readers of the financial statements know about the mission of the school, what the school does, or important events that are happening at the school during the year. If you turn the page to page number 2 of the audit report, this is the auditor's, independent auditor's report, or the opinion letter. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants changed the format of this, and this year, so it looks different from last year, but the opinion is highlighted there in the second paragraph. It says, in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the school as of June 30, 2022. That's what's referred to as an unmodified opinion. That's the kind of opinion that you want to have. Because it says that the CPA can say without hesitation that the financial statements present the financial position. If you turn to page 4 of the audit report, this is the statement of financial position. That's what it's called for a nonprofit entity. It is a if it was a for-profit entity, it would be called the balance sheet. So it lists the assets, and it lists what the liabilities are, things that you owe. You can see that the assets are the total assets are $1,027,336, and they consist of cash, accounts receivable, and prepaid expenses. The total liabilities is $1,051,000, and you can see what makes up those amounts. The excess of the liabilities over the assets is called total net assets, and in this instance, the total net assets are a negative $24,249. Part of that negative net assets is restricted for certain state programs, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. If you turn the page to page number 5 of the audit report, you can see the statement of activities. And this, that's what it's called for a nonprofit entity. For a for-profit entity, this would be the income statement. And you can see that the total revenue in the middle of the page on the far right-hand column is $2,778,227. The major part of that income is the local control funding formula income that's received from the state, and that is made up of the state aid, the education protection account, and the property taxes. That comprises about $2,011,000 of the total $2,778,000 that's revenue support and gains. The expenses are just broken down into two categories on this page. On the next page, we'll see some additional detail. You see that the program service expenses are $2.25 million and the supporting service expenses are $206,000. And so the change in net assets, or the excess of the revenue over the expenses, was $319,473. Your revenue for this year was and so these notes to the financial statement, they provide additional detail about the numbers that were summarized on the first two pages of the financial statements that we talked about. For example, if you wanted to know what made up the cash, there's a footnote. Footnote C talks about cash, and all of the cash of the entity, $390,000, was held in bank accounts at June 30, 2022. If you turn the page to page number 14, you'll see that footnote D talks about accounts receivable. And there were $616,000 of accounts receivable. The largest receivable was from the state of California for state aid of $345,000. And the good thing about that is you know you're going to get paid for it from the state eventually. But you can see what makes up the accounts receivable. And there's subsequent footnotes for prepaid expenses, accounts payable, and there is one other on page 15 on footnote I for the line of credit. The school had an agreement with Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation for a line of credit up to $500,000. And as of the end of the year, the school had an outstanding balance of $450,000 on that line. And then if you turn to page number 16, I'd like to draw your attention to footnote J. So this lists some of the grants that you have received for the year, and the amount you received are restricted. They can only be spent on these programs. You see that there's two new ones listed, the A2G Access Grant and the A2G Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. Grants were new this year, and they're intended to provide money for to help high school students receive a high school diploma while still completing certain course requirements that are required by them. But they were new this year, so that's why I wanted you to note that. If you turn to page number 19, this is the first page in a section in the audit report that's called Supplementary Information Section. The schedules listed here are not required by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. They are they're required by the California State Controller's Office or the California Department of Education. And the first one there is just an organization structure of the entity. It shows the governing board and it shows the administration. If you turn the page to page number 20, this is a very important schedule. This schedule lists the average daily attendance of the school for the year. You can see that in the left-hand column at the bottom, the total average daily attendance, or ADA, is 164.23. This is important because average daily attendance is how you receive funding from the state. The state pays the school in part based on average daily attendance. There's a lot of work that goes into the schedule. It doesn't look like much, but we actually go through and review and audit the monthly attendance records provided by the teachers that are then summarized and provided to the California Department of Education. And you'll see that under the revised column for both the second period report and the annual report, they're marked not, the columns are marked not applicable. And I attribute that in part to the fact that the school has a procedure in place where you have people who work for the school that kind of do an internal audit of the attendance that the teachers report every month. And those people make sure that all of the attendance that is earned by the students is reported and correctly reported so that it gets reported to the state of California so that you get paid for it. So that's a very good procedure. Most charter schools that we audit do not have that internal audit function. That's not really an internal audit function, but they don't have that group of individuals who do that monthly check on the teacher's attendance records. So that's a very good procedure that you have.
number 31. This is the schedule of auditor's results. And again, it lists the type of opinion that you have. You have an unmodified opinion. That's the opinion that you want to have. It also lists whether there's a material weakness, whether in our audit work we identified any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. And those would be instances where the school's not following your own internal control procedures, the procedures that you have in place to make sure that financial statement information is correctly prepared and state compliance items are correctly prepared and reported. And you did not have any instances where we noted a discrepancy in that. There were also no financial statement findings on this report, and there were no findings from the prior year that needed to be followed up on and resolved. So that completes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you do have any questions.
Thank you, Brian. That was wonderful. Very, very explicit. We just helped us understand it so much. Any other comments from the board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6A?
Father Wilbrand moves. Bye, Beck second.
Father Wilbrand has moved. Father Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Father Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Ron Dorich?
Aye.
And Father Wilbrand?
Aye.
Well, 6B has been approved unanimously. Or 6A, excuse me. We're now on the 6B. The board will be asked to review and approve the revised personalized learning policy. And this is Lindsay Reed.
Thank you. So if there are no further questions, we recommend the board approve the revised personalized learning policy as presented during the public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6B?
Mike Malloy, make a motion. John Dorch, second.
All right. Mike Malloy has moved. John Dorch has seconded. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So 6B has been approved unanimously. We're now down to 6C. The board will be asked to discuss and approve the arts, music, and instructional materials discretionary block grant plan. And I believe that's important.
Yes, I will be presenting some stories out today. The arts, music, and instructional materials discretionary block grant is one-time funding through the 25-26 school year. San Diego Mission Academy has been allocated $109,390. Funds may be used for five specific areas. The first is to obtain standards-aligned professional development and acquire instructional materials in four subject areas: visual and performing arts, world languages, ethnic studies, and computer science. Number two is to obtain instructional materials and professional development aligned to best practices for improving school climate, including training on de-escalation and restorative justice strategies in digital literacy. Number three is to develop diverse book collections and obtain culturally relevant texts, including level texts in both English and people's home language to support independent reading. And funds may also be used for researching and purchasing culturally relevant novels and textbooks for students in their native language to encourage independent reading. Number four is for operational and healthcare costs, specifically nutrition services, furniture and technology upgrades, and healthcare costs. And number five is for COVID-19 costs, such as protective equipment, masks, cleaning supplies, COVID-19 tests, ventilation upgrades, and other similar expenditures to keep students and staff and guests safe. The funds shall be available through the 25-26 fiscal year. This concludes my presentation of the Arts, Music, and Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant. Does the board have any questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Lindsay. Any questions from the board? We're glad to get that money for the kids. Any questions? All right. Can I have a motion and a second to approve 6B?
Barbara Wilbrand moves. I need a second.
Yeah. Mike
Malloy,
Okay. So Barbara Wilbrand has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
Well,
60 has been approved unanimously. We're now on 60. The board will be asked to approve the 22-23 first interim report. Eta.
Thank you, Warren. I'd like to bring your attention to your PDF packet. There's all the information for Form 62 is in your packet on pages 310 to 317. We also included a supplemental report to compare the original budget with the actual year-to-date. It's in your packet. If there's any questions on that, I can address that at the end of my presentation. The first interim report is the first financial report of the fiscal year that shows financial condition of the school after the first 4 months of the operation. And that is July 1 through October 31st, 2022. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include original budget approved by the board back in June, that's in column A, the revised budget that is proposed for approval in column B, actual year-to-date on column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial sections also provide projections of the school reserve and its components at the year end. I'm going to go over some highlights, and then we're first going to start with the average attendance. That's the last form A on page on your Form 62, the last page of the this document. And then if you look at that on the bottom half of Form A, it shows ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trend, which is used to prepare the revised budget and the projected year-end total. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 175, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 236, an increase of 61 ADAs that has a positive impact in funding sources based on current year's ADA. Now we're going to go back to the first page, reviewing revenue and expenditures on Form 62. In the report column A, as I mentioned, it shows the original budget that the board approved in June. Column B shows the proposed revised budget, which here it includes revisions to the projected ADA, revenue and expenditures. And column C, it shows actual year-to-date, and column D shows the projection for the year. So which that matches the proposed revised budget that you see on column B. On the revenue side, we'll start on the section A. You'll see that the projected total revenue is $3.9 million. This is $1.4 million higher than the school's original budget. This increase comes from multiple changes that impacted the school's revenue sources. We'll start with LCFS sources, number one on section A, that shows an increase in projected revenue of $979,000 compared to the original budget. This is due to an increase in projected funding ADA and COLA increase from 6.56% to 12.84%. That impacted the base, supplemental, and concentration portion of the fund. The second one is the federal revenue. That shows the same level of funding at $16,000 with no projected changes at any individual funding from federal sources. Then we'll look at other states' revenue. This is significant. Increase from $189,000 to $648,000. That comes primarily from recognition of two restricted multi-year state grants that were not available at the time the original budget was developed. The first one is the Arts and Music Block Grant that Lindsay just went over. It's $109,390. All funds will be disbursed and recognized in current year. 50% of the funding will be disbursed in a few days, and 50% will be disbursed and anticipated to be received in April of 2023. This fund will be available for expenses through fiscal year 25-26. Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant is the second one, one-time funding. That's $272,147,000. All funds will also be dispersed and recognized in current fiscal year. 50% of the funding was already dispersed in late November, and the remaining 50% is expected to be dispersed 1,061 coming from interest. On the expense side, the school is projecting total expenditures for $3.4 million, showing an increase of $1 million compared to the original budget. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the new one-time restricted grant and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to the increase of ADA and available funding. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $780,000 or 49% due to an increase of all categories, including certificated and classified instructional support and administrative salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $117,000 to $189,000 due to an increase in school instructional materials and equipment spending. Projected operating expenses increased by 30% from $639,000 to $834,000 and includes an increase in professional services and a decrease in training and communication spending. After the current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is anticipating an excess revenue of $505,000. The net position section at the bottom of the first page shows a beginning net position of -$24,000. With a projected excess revenue of $505,000, the school will end of fiscal year 2022-23 with a projected net position of $481,000. Of this total reserve, $155,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years according to the restricted plan for the grant. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $325,000 will be equal to 9% of the total annual expenditures. And that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eva. Any questions for the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6E?
One move.
Actually, that was 6D. All right. So, thank you. So, we'll vote. It was moved by Barbara Willebrand and seconded by Claudette Beck. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
Mike Malloy,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So, 6D has been approved unanimously. We're now on 6D. The board will be asked to approve the revised financial reserve plan. Lindsay.
Thank you very much. For reference, please turn to page 319 in your packet. As the board knows, the establishment and funding of financial reserves is essential to the long-term health and stability of our school. Financial reserves are needed to manage cash flow, help protect our school from unforeseen revenue shortfalls, unexpected costs, and economic uncertainty. Financial reserves also help us save for large expenditures and reduce the cost of borrowing money. Currently, the school does not have a reserve. The goal is for San Diego Mission Academy to build a reserve to 5% by the year 2023-24 and 10% by the year 26-27. The following is our plan regarding the current status and internal controls of the reserve fund to maintain, to improve the current reserve. Number one, we will continue to adhere to staffing ratios for both certificated and classified staff. Employee backfills will be limited and only based on needs and budget. We will conduct periodic review of our contracted services to eliminate waste and overspending. We will continue to increase enrollment by diversifying outreach to rural communities within the counties that we serve. We will continue promoting and recruiting for summer intersessions. We will increase student average daily attendance as measured per learning period and annually. And we will provide professional development to the team to enhance student retention. And we will continue to review our marketing plan to diversify and improve outreach. In fact, we met with marketing just either this week or last week to start talking about a plan to increase our visibility. So we're working on it. The good news is, for the first time, San Diego Mission Academy is not operating in a deficit. And as a reminder to the board, this happened because when the school first opened, they hired staff and didn't quite grow to expected levels. But these were amazing educators that the team wanted to keep on. And then to compound matters, they would have recovered sooner, but the whole harmless funding during the pandemic prevented them from actually being funded according to their actual ADA. They were operating with much less funding.
benefit from Bold Promise legislation. So overall, it was a perfect storm that the Fortune put FDMA in the red for a few years, but we're excited that we're finally in the black and moving forward and making progress. And I look forward to continuing to update the board as the year progresses. Thank you.
That is amazing. We're so happy for that. Really a lot of work on everybody's part. Any other comments from the board members?
For Mike Malloy, it seems like it's going in the right direction.
It is.
Yes, we are. Thank goodness.
I know. All right. Can I have a motion and a second to approve 6E?
Mike Malloy makes a motion. John Dorch second.
So Mike Malloy has motion. John Dorch has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Fett,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Wilson?
Aye.
All right, so 6E has passed. We're now on 6F. The board will be asked to review and approve Wilkinson Hadley & Keene & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2021 Form 990. Return of organization will accept the income cash. Tita.
Thank you, board. The engagement letter the document is in your PDF packet, pages 321 and 322. This letter, engagement letter, is from Wilkinson Hadley King & Company to prepare the fiscal year and the June 30, 2022 federal return of organizational exempt from income tax form 990 and its related federal statements and schedules, as well as the California exempt organization annual information return form 199 with its related statements and schedules. As Mr. Brian Hadley just mentioned, he's a partner with Wilkinson Hadley and King, and that their firm is under the California Department of Education, as well as the State of California Controller's Office as an approved auditor. As noted on page 2 of the engagement letter, the preparation fee is $1,300 for the corporation. At this time, I would like to recommend to the board Wilkinson Hadley King & Company, LLC, to prepare the school's 2021-990 and other related tax forms and documents. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Keith. We like the fact that you're doing both our audits and our taxes. That's great. Any other comments from board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6F?
Or Will Brand moves.
All right, so I got the lady. Barb Will Brand moves. Claudia Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Don Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Will Brand?
Aye.
So 6F has been approved unanimously. We are now down to 7. Additional corporate officers and board members, observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much. You know, I just want to take a side here and thank Kevin and Todd. We don't have to talk about him, but his work with us and work with us from our petitioner. He's a definite asset. So thank you very much, Kevin. Thanks for being part of our team.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, yeah. No, it is my pleasure. I think we've got all of our pleasures. Great. You're right. That's a great idea. Great compliment. You know, you're providing goals. You're giving, not only providing goals, but giving on the way to get to them. So I think that's so important. Giovanni's story, that young man, and he graduated, that the direction was proper. Mr. Pirelli, I can't tell you how much mentoring and reaching out to these students is important. I've noticed that many of our students come to us and they kind of like, you know, they're not too sure what to expect, and they're kind of sit back a little bit, and then once they realize they can communicate and they actually, well, the teachers and people like you become surrogate parents for many of them, and then mentoring them and guiding them through what their future is. You know, in certain areas you come out of that, which is pretty scary because the past wasn't that good. So looking toward that, I congratulate all of you out there doing this. And I also, again, providing direction and help, especially in this
I just ditto everything you just said. Jerry, please.
Yes, it's pretty much the same for me, President Stanford, to ditto that. Lindsay, you actually gave the recap that was so succinct and on point that I wanted to give. Thank you, Lindsay. You and Jenna, with your, as you said, phenomenal staff, right, that was in place, have turned the ship. You've turned the ship around. You're in a positive net position. That's amazing considering all of those obstacles. So let's talk about grit. You and your team have it. And model it for our students. So thank you. And I do stand corrected, Mr. Brian Hadley. I have oftentimes used the term internal auditors for the technicians that ensure that our teachers are able to dot every I and cross every T for our ABA. So I stand corrected. I still like using internal auditor, but that's the layman's term. So I'll preface it with that. But the last thing I'd like to say is if your revised trending ABA, Lindsay, is what is, you know, if you stay on trend, that's going to be 50 more students that you, Jenna, and your staff, and Mr. Pirelli get to equip with tools for life in school and after school. So aren't we all blessed to be a part of this, right? Thank you to everyone. Thank you.
This is Board President Stanford. I just totally agree with you, Jerry. We really are blessed. And the fact that you guys are getting more students, getting in the black, getting reserved, that's amazing. These are crazy times. Thank you so much, Jenna, for introducing us to Daniel. He's just an amazing role model. I wish my grandson would see his haircut. I just love him. And, you know, you are role models for those kids. They're watching you. They're looking at you. And it's important. It really is. All right. And thank you for everybody for this meeting. Any other comments to the board members? All right, then. I'm going to go to closing items. Our next regular board meeting is January 6th, 2023 at 11:30 a.m. I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Mike will make the motion.
Slide back a second. So Michael Lloyd's motion and Claudia Beth Beck is seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Michael Lloyd?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilson?
Aye.
All right, so we have officially adjourned this meeting by a unanimous vote. So thank you all. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Great holiday.
Thank you all.